Amen. That's good. Folks here from back from North Carolina, we're glad to have you. Y'all make yourself right home with us this morning. If you have your Bible, turn to the book of Matthew chapter 12, please, verse number 38. This is Levi the publican, tax collector, despised, hated. Yet the Lord chose him to be an apostle. Matthew chapter number 12 and verse number 38. The scripture says, "Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered, said to them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." Now note carefully verses 1 and 2, 41 and 42. "The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here." Father, bless your word now. Your holy name, amen. You can be seated. Note carefully that he said, "A greater than Solomon is here." And Solomon, of course, was the son of David, king of Israel. He had a thriving kingdom handed to him. God gave Solomon wisdom. Here's what it says of him. 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 29. "God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding, exceeding much and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan, the Ezrahite, and Heman, and Chalcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahal. And his fame was in all nations round about. He spake 3,000 proverbs. His songs were 1,005. He spake of trees from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even to the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He spake also of beast and of fowl and of creeping things and of fishes. And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all kings of the earth which had heard of his wisdom." And he was undoubtedly, and you know the story of the two prostitutes and the child that died and the wisdom that Solomon showed, and he manifested forth what true love was all about for all to see on that day. She was willing to give up her son rather than see him cut in half. And of course, that's love. And she loved her son. So Solomon was a wise man, no question about it. But he was at the top. And the thing that marks the character of any individual, my dear friend, is not the ability, the gifts, and the charisma, and all that you may have, and talent, that causes you to rise to the top, and a lot of people do. But it's what it takes to keep you there. That is a true mark of real character, what it takes to keep you there. Because once power is in the hands of the wrong person, they can become a despot beyond your wildest imagination. They can become a killer. They can become a monster. And it has happened, and it will happen again. Power is a very addictive thing, no question about it whatsoever. And Solomon, of course, had all of this given to him. For his father David was a warrior. He was a shepherd. And he rose to the top because of his battle and because of God's blessing and the anointing that the Lord gave to Solomon, gave to David. David was anointed 3 times as the king. But Solomon lost it all. There is tradition out there, and I'm not saying that you have to believe this, but there's a certain amount of tradition in the occult world that Solomon was even instrumental in writing a manual, some sort of a manual of satanic witchcraft and so forth and so on. I'm not saying that this happens, but you may run across this if you begin to study Solomon, because my dear friend, from the height of where Solomon was, he went to the depths of that is far down as you could possibly go. In the day of Solomon in the land of Israel, you could hear the babies as they screamed, rolling down the arms of Moloch into his belly, being offered as human sacrifices, Solomon brought that into the country. So, dear friend, in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, I don't know if you've ever noticed this or not, and I've preached this before and I'll continue to preach it. The 11th chapter of Hebrews, you'll find prostitutes, you'll find everything under the sun listed as people of faith as they trusted the Lord and followed the wisdom and the light that they had. But one name you will not find in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews is the name of Solomon. It's not there. He threw away everything that was handed to him. Our Lord Jesus Christ rose, my dear friend. The scripture says plainly that he rose in wisdom and in favor with God. And he grew. He matured. Daily he was in the scriptures. Daily he was reading the word of God. And he was praying, seeking the face of the Lord. He was the God-man that had come into this world and had given up all so much so that he might, on the other hand, learn the things that a man would learn while he was here in this world. And by perfection, he became what no other man had ever become. He, my dear friend, through a sinless, perfect life, was the sinless one who was in absolute and complete obedience to the Father and dependence upon him. And so when he says that a greater than Solomon is here, there is no question in my mind whatsoever that he was greater in every sense of the word. In the book of Luke, chapter number 11 and verse number 49, the scripture says, "Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, may be required of this generation." Now look at how God does things. "From the blood of Abel to the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple. Verily I say unto you," now if you'd like to see the scripture reference, it's Luke chapter 11, verses 49 through 52. He said, "Between the altar and the temple," he said, "verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe unto you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered." Now, if you notice how that starts in verse number 49, I don't know if you've ever noticed this or not. The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking, and here's what he said. "Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles." Here's the wisdom of God manifest in spoken word. But the way it's written in the scripture, it's almost as if the wisdom of God speaks like that wisdom we read about in the book of Proverbs. Before the Lord Jesus Christ was incarnate, manifest in the flesh, he was the very wisdom of God. That's who he's talking about in the book of Proverbs. And he says the wisdom of God speaks. So what is this wisdom of God? 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 24. "Woe unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." So the Lord Jesus Christ becomes the personification of wisdom. His word is wisdom. His eye is wisdom. His hand is wisdom. His personage is wisdom. Wherever he goes is the wisdom of God moving. Whatever he does is the wisdom of God in action. The Lord Jesus Christ therefore becomes the personification and the perfection of wisdom. While he was on this earth, none ever lived before him, nor none will ever live after him that were the wisdom of God like him. Now notice how he continues with this. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse number 7, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world to our glory." Notice if you begin to study the Bible, how that so much was already said and done in the mind of God and in the counsels of the Lord before it was ever physically done. It says, "The wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world to our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." The wisdom of God was manifested to men, and men were ignorant and didn't know it when they saw it. It's like that light that shines, yet you can't see it. Ephesians chapter number 3 and verse 10 says this, "To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Principalities and power, spiritual wickedness in high places, the real spiritual battle that rages right above your head. There are levels of spiritual understanding and power. Those of you sitting in this house this morning, if you're born again, the Holy Ghost is in you. Amen. You're men and women walking on this earth. That's one level. But there's a level above that, and that is the level of these spirit beings that move about. The ones I told you when this prince of Persia withstood the answer to Daniel's prayer, and Michael, an archangel, had to come and free him. That's another level. And then you can rise up another level above that, and that is where Satan is even higher in a level. But then there is that ultimate level that is above them all, and that is the Lord God Almighty himself. He has never abdicated the throne. He's still Almighty God. Nothing can change that. Nothing can change the nature of that eternal being. And so this is why the Bible says, when the church of God, if you're in this house this morning, you were cut down out of the field from among the trees. You were brought into a building, and before you were ever brought to that building, you were cut and shaped and exactly the way he wanted you to be, where you would fit and how you would fit, and only he could put you in that building. And then when he brought you and put you into that building, there was a place waiting for you. And when he put you in that building, that place waiting for you, it was glory to God, because there you were taken from the land of the living and you were put into eternal life, into the land that shall never die. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about the construction of the church of God. I'm talking about a church that can't be seen with a mortal eye. I'm talking about, the Bible says that a habitation of God through the Spirit, that he comes into the house of God. And if you're born of the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost inside you will let you know when God shows up in a place. So many people in the country are so used to dead churches, the only thing they're accustomed to is a performance. A performance. They work your flesh up. They beat and they bang, and it's a performance. And as soon as you walk out the door, the performance is dead, and you're waiting for the next one. But if the Holy Ghost is moving in your soul, there's life within you. And that life doesn't need to be worked up. It doesn't need a performance. It's the power of the resurrected Christ that's alive in you. It can't be taken from you. If you're born of the Spirit of God, there's a relationship, there's reciprocation between the Father who loves to come. Oh, how he loves to walk in the midst of the church, as he did back in the book of Genesis in the cool of the day when he walked with Adam. He wants to walk with us. God has a desire to be with his creatures. You. He can't fellowship with an angel. He can't fellowship with a cherubim. He can't fellowship with any of them, but he can fellowship with you. Oh, that we would have that sweet fellowship with the Lord. That's the power of God. And this is what he's talking about, the manifold wisdom of God. No doubt in my mind that these creatures are watching us, these level above, these principalities and powers and spiritual beings. They're observing us. They cannot see that life that is in you, because that's hidden from God, from them. It's hidden with Christ in God. But they can see how you change. They can see what's going on with you. And they'll never understand it, because they do not know the essence of it. They don't know where it came from. They know nothing about it. But if you're born of the Spirit of God, you do. Now, how many of you have any idea what I'm talking about? Hallelujah to God. That's the earnest of the Spirit. That's the down payment of your salvation. That's for you. And if that is in you, if the one who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, if he's in you this morning, if the Holy Ghost is in there and you know he's there, that should give you sweet comfort and assurance, because you know you're saved. You know that you've got a home in heaven, and that day's coming. So this is the manifold wisdom of God, because it is according to the eternal purpose. The eternal purpose. He has a reason for us being here. When we read the Gospel of John is a wonderful book. It's the fourth gospel. It's not what's called a synoptic gospel. You've heard me mention many times before that Matthew, Mark, and Luke are If you go to a Bible college, school, anywhere, they'll say these are synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. A synopsis is a one view, sin, come together, one view, optic of what's going on. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke are supposed to give you generalized one view of the life of Christ. But the Gospel of John is not a synoptic gospel. It's different, altogether different. And the Lord Jesus just told them, he said, a greater than Solomon is here. Well, the Gospel of John says some things the rest of them don't say. It has what's called sign miracles, and it has the great I ams. And it's a wonderful thing when you begin to look at it. Let's look at it. For example, in John chapter number 2, these are the sign miracles. Verses 1 through 11, he turns water into wine. Notice how he starts off his miracle working power. Notice that he takes new wine and says to them, you can't put it in old bottles. In other words, the New Testament is not to be mixed up with the Old Testament. The new covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ is not some bettering of the old covenant. No, the old covenant is here, but the new covenant is there. The old covenant could only take you so far, but the new covenant can take you to the very presence of God. You see, that new wine he's talking about is something that is entirely new. I mean, absolutely new. It is the new birth, the new birth. And so he starts off his miracles with the new birth, because the new wine is the new birth. The second miracle in John 4 is the healing of the official's son, showing that he has power over death. He has power over sickness. It shows that he has authority in this earth. John chapter number 5 is the healing of the paralytic at Bethesda. Bethesda in Hebrew, it's a Hebrew word. It means house of mercy. House of mercy. But it was anything but a house of mercy to a man been there for 38 years. He tried to get in the water, but he couldn't get in there. With the moving of the water, he couldn't get to it. Somebody beat him. So he had to go back with his head down and sit back down in the same old worn out spot that he'd been in for decade after decade, with no hope and no joy and no peace in his soul. The house of mercy was not a house of mercy to him until the one who made the house of mercy showed up. The everlasting Son of God. And all he had to do was say the word, and he was healed. Do you realize that word is still powerful today? You realize that word is still alive today? You realize the word of God never dies? It cannot die. The word of God is forever. And he spoke, and he was healed on the spot. And thanks be unto God. These are sign gifts. In other words, it's a sign to the Jews. In John chapter number 6, the feeding of the 5,000. He fed 5,000 more than one time. He fed them, and they ate, and their bellies were filled. And oh, how they wanted to follow him. But he wanted them to understand. He said, I got something to feed you that's far, far better than anything that you could eat like this. In John chapter number 6, he told him, he said, I'm the bread of life. Amen. I am the bread of life. Sure, you eat this. Sure, it's good. But you're going to get hungry again. But if you'll eat the bread that I'm talking about, you'll never hunger again. Moses gave you manna in the wilderness, but what I have to give you is far, far greater, far better than any of that. I don't need another Christ. I don't need another salvation. I don't need any more bread. I ate of that bread in 1973. He satisfied my soul. Amen. John chapter number 6, he walks on the water. Oh my, he's walking on the water. But you know, one of the things that I really get a hold of me about this is the fact that Peter walked on it too. I love that. I mean, it's something for the second person of the Godhead. And he said, peace be still to the wind and the waves. And they obeyed him. You see, wind and waves have no intellect. They can't answer anything. It is this creative power that goes forth. The word that said, let there be light, said, peace be still. Amen. And so he walks in the water. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And old Peter, true to his nature, said, Lord, bid me come to thee. And the disciples said to themselves, this man's gone nut job. We have one here, no doubt he's gone. We'll see him go over it, and we'll watch him go down. He walked on the water. He walked. Only two men have ever walked on water. One of them was an apostle. Would you like to walk on some water? I'd like to go where I've never been before. I'd like to see what I've never seen before. I'd like to hear what I've never heard before. I'd like to be what I've never been before. I want to be with him where he is and see him as he is. My friend, I'm not going to a place. I'm going to a person. Heaven is not a place to me. Heaven's a person. Amen. Amen. There was a man born blind, John 9, he healed him. This man's a representative of all of Israel. They are blind. They were blind, still blind. He's blinded them in Romans chapter number 11. And until the scales fall from their eyes, like the Apostle Paul, he said, I was one born out of due season. The Apostle Paul becomes a type of the salvation of the Jew because he was blind as he entered into Damascus. When the scales fell from his eyes, and my friend, he began to see what he'd never seen before. That's exactly what's going to happen to the Jews. You can preach to them, you can teach to them, you can do everything in the world to them, but until those scales come from their eyes, they'll never see the Son of God for who he is. He may be working on some scales right now. I don't know if you know what's going on over there, but the President of the United States has struck Iran, and they have destroyed three nuclear bunkers, as far as we know, maybe more. I don't know what's going on. But I do know this. We may be on the verge right now of a knockdown, drag-out fight, my dear friend. Who knows? But here's one thing about it. I'm not scared to death about it. I'll go to my house just like I came out of it. And when I lay my head on my bed tonight, if it lasts that long, I'll do this. I'll say, even so, come. Lord Jesus, come. Amen. My grandfather used to bend across me and he'd say these words. Now I lay me down to sleep. And I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. How many ever heard that prayer? Amen. My grandfather prayed that with me. I don't know how many times. My grandfather raised me, by the way, if you don't know. He was the only father I ever knew in this world. And we had that prayer. Well, I'll say that again tonight. I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. In him I live and I move and I have my being. Amen. Glory to God. If he come today, come today. If the rapture takes place today, take place today. My name's written in the Lamb's book of life. Nothing can change that. Glory to God. Amen. God bless your soul. Some of you look shocked to death. Some of you are too used to big screens. So why don't you all have a big screen? It costs too much. Anything over $5, throw it in the garbage. Amen. Nothing. You're screened to death now. Amen. First TV we got was black and white, and the screen was about that big. You only had two channels in Knoxville, Channel 6 and Channel 10. Then they added Channel 26. You know what I'm talking about, brother. And it was a UHF channel. You had to have an outside antenna, odd-looking thing. Preachers used to say back then, you can always tell the devil's crowd. How? His horns are stuck up above their house. Oh, boy. And they didn't last long. They were tube TVs back then. One tube start acting up. Things start rolling or jerking and going sideways, and we'd call the tube man in. Oh, let's not get into all that, Lord. I've been here a while, folks. I was here long before these big flat TVs ever showed up. Amen. There's good stuff on TV, and there's a lot of not good stuff on TV. Amen. Then we have John chapter 11, the raising of Lazarus. Oh, yeah. Oh, my. You know something, folks? If that really settled into our soul and we got a hold of that today, we'd walk out of this house shouting. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've been to this graveyard. I've been to graveyards all over. I've been to graveyards, folks, that people don't even know exist. I've gone to the top of hills, back in valleys, and back in places. I've been in graveyards that are just absolutely, you don't know what it is. Unless you've been there, you don't even know they're there. I've been there. Been all over the place. And I'll guarantee you right now, there's some widow. Lord, I'd like to see my husband again. I'll guarantee you this morning, there's a mama or a daddy that say, oh, my little girl. Oh, honey, I loved you so much. Little 5-year-old, 6-year-old carried a little body out to the graveyard. Oh, I want to see you again. Oh, I want to see you again. Her picture, his picture's in the house. It'll never be taken out. Every day they get up, they walk through that house, and they'll see the picture of that little boy, that little girl, and they're gone from here. Let me tell you about a place where they don't die. Let me tell you about a land of the living. We live in the land of the dying. But let me tell you about one that's got the power to say, Lazarus, come forth. Amen. And you know what happened? He that was dead came forth, bound head and toe with grave clothes. Loose him and let him go. That's exactly what happened when God saved my soul. He loosed me and he let me go. Hallelujah. Amen.
Then he covered me with his glory. He put clothes of righteousness upon my soul. And he blessed me from that day forward. The rags are gone. You remember Bartimaeus? Threw the rags aside, old rags. Some of you, you love your rags and you hold them up here and you want your rags and you can't imagine. You think, I'll be naked without these rags. You're already naked. What you need is to be covered with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen. And the only way that can happen is by faith. So you got the miracles. Then you got the I ams of John. I am the bread of life, he said in John 6:35. He said, I am the light of the world in John 8:12. He said, I'm the door of the sheep in John 10:7. He said, I'm the good shepherd in John 10:11. And he said, I'm the resurrection and the life, glory to God, in John 11. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life in John 14. And then he said, I am the true vine, John chapter number 15. These all beg preaching and exhortation. But for the sake of time, I can't get into all of it. But look at John chapter number 8 and verse number 57. Here's what he says in John 8:57. It's the only one of the Gospels that records this. And here's what our Lord Jesus said. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, He didn't say, I've seen him. No, he didn't say, I know him. Now look at this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Oh, boy. And go to Exodus chapter number 3. He's quoting the Old Testament. He's quoting the Bible. Of course, he quotes the Bible to point directly to who he is, the I am. He's the great I am. Oh, is he not? Now, I remember I told you before, the best commentaries, the ones written in 1700s, 1800s. That's not to say that there isn't good stuff today. There is. But just because a commentary is 150, 200 years old, don't throw it away. Oh, no. Say, why, preacher? Because they had a concept of God, glory and holiness that we seem to be losing. Yeah. I want to read a poem written by a woman somewhere around the 1830s to 1840s. Here's what she says. Now listen to this. Thy spirit animates eternal years, pervades and broods above, changes, sustains, dissolves, creates and rears. Though earth and man were gone, and suns and universes ceased to be, and thou wert left alone, every existence would exist in thee. Ah, soul. Oh, yeah. Do you know what she just said to you? What I said to you the other day. Nothing can exist outside of the Almighty. Nothing. Past, present, future. Things, spirits, nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Her name, Emily Bronte. She's the author of Wuthering Heights. How many's ever heard of that? I heard it in school. This is the author. Quite a thing, don't you think? The people had a concept of God. Our concept of God today is more materialistic and physical, isn't it? It is. It's materialistic and physical. What can God do for me? What can he give me? You know, this thing, this thing, this thing. And that's sad. He knows we have need of these things. I understand all that. But I don't care how beautiful gold is. After a few billion years, you get tired of looking at it. But you'll never get tired of this one I'm talking about this morning. You'll never get tired of them. Listen to the scripture. Listen to the book. Of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Romans 11:36. Where have you been, Satan? Walking to and fro. To and fro. What do you mean, where have I been? You know who I am. Why, of course. Walking, seeking, who may I? Who, you know, who can I devour? Why, I've been everywhere. I never get tired. I'm after them. Colossians 1:16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers.
All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So you've been walking to and fro. Yes, I have. Well, you know that. And you think you're free, don't you, Satan? And you think you're your own master. And you think you're God. And the Bible calls him the God of this world. Yet there is one that is infinitely above him. Our concept of God is too little. He's bigger than our mind can conceive, folks. Bigger, which in his time he will show who is that blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can see, which no man hath seen, to whom be honor and glory everlasting. Who's that? Well, who's the King of kings and Lord of lords? But he's dwelling in a place now where you can't see him. What do you mean? Well, the light. He's in light. He's dwelling in light. Only the Father now can show you the Son. Wait a minute. Only the Son can show you the Father. No man knows the Father but the Son. No man knows the Son but the Father. Are you saying that all these other religions are walking in darkness? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I believe that this Holy Bible is infinitely above any religious book by any religion on the face of this earth. This is God's word. Yes, I do. And I'm going to close with these statements. I want you to listen carefully. To kings, he said, Daniel 4, 17, this matters by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. To the saved, he said, Ephesians 1:11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. To Satan incarnated as the Antichrist, he said, and that's coming, folks, Satan will incarnate himself in a man. Ezekiel 28:18, thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities. By the iniquity of thy traffic, therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth, the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. He will literally be consumed by fire, spontaneous combustion, right before their very eyes. The scripture says when Christ comes, he'll destroy him by the brightness of his coming. Then to creation he said, Isaiah 49:13, sing, O heavens, be joyful, O earth, and bring forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. And then finally, to him they said, Revelation 4:8, and the four beasts, each six wings about him, they were full of eyes within. They rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. If you're looking for a church who wants to glorify its preacher and its ministries and lift up its building program and all that it's accomplished, you're in the wrong place. I'm just an old dirty dog that was saved by the grace of God. Amen, folks. You don't know, but I know where I came from. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. I owe him everything. Yeah, I do. I owe him everything. Sometimes I sit alone. I like to sit alone a lot. Think. I'll sit there and think. My neighbors think, "Oh, that old boy's crazy. He's been sitting there looking at that tree for an hour and a half." Good night, man. He's ready for the funny farm. Thinking. Going back. This September the 17th, it'll be 79 years I showed up, General Hospital, here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Been here a while. Lived a sorry, low-down life. Sorry, man, sorry. Till 1973, when God called out of the blue, and I heard a voice that I had never heard before in my life. And I mean in a way that I had never heard it. And all of a sudden, the weight of all of my sin and all of who I was came bearing down on my soul. And I mean, I was burdened. I mean, I was bowing. I was bending under that weight. I had to get that off of me. And all I had to do was just bow my head and said, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." And it all lifted. It all lifted. It was all taken away. He's been with me in this church all these years. This August, 1st of August, will be 49 years I've been here at Temple Baptist Church. Thought I'd been run off a long time ago. Two or three times they tried to run me off. I mean, didn't. The ones trying to do the running wasn't in God's will. I don't know that that's necessarily the way God moves his pastor when he just runs him off. But in any event, I've been here. I've been here. I've seen a lot, folks. I've seen a lot. A lot of you are waiting for an experience. Let me tell you what you ought to do. Just be honest in your heart. Let God speak to your heart. Don't make excuses. Don't blame other people. Don't hide behind somebody. If God begins to speak to the inside of you, I mean really deep down inside, you hear me, but the voice of God can get down in here. Don't hide from him. Don't run from him. Don't make excuses. Listen to him. And it's the voice of God. He won't condemn you and damn you. It's to convict you and save you. He's to draw you to Christ. That's what he did with me. Oh boy, what a thing. I'd been through some stuff. But man alive, when I raised up my head, I felt the world lift off of me. I could not have told you how that was going to happen. I didn't know that. But it happened. And if anybody was ever on fire for God, this old boy was. Every time the church doors were open, I was standing tall, man. I was there. I was in there. Yes, sir. Didn't go long before I heard this old boy over there saying, "Amen, amen, amen." I said, "Who's that guy?" "Amen, amen." Every time the church doors open, "Amen." I got next to him. His name was Gene McDonald. His daddy. At Third Creek Baptist Church, I got right next to him. He said, "Amen, amen, amen, amen." When he said it was amen, amen. Because I was young, I didn't know anything. So I was letting him disciple me. And every time the church doors were open, I'd have to look for him. He was there. Amen. Had a dog fight down there, as you usually do in churches. Baptist churches are good for dog fights, believe me. Dog fight. I went in there. I'd been there every time the church doors were open. Lo and behold, a crowd showed up to throw the preacher out. They came out of the woodwork. I stood up, fresh out of the military. I looked at that bunch. I said, "You bunch of..." I said, "Where'd you come from?" I said, "I've been in here every time the church doors were..." "Where'd you come from? What are you doing in here? Run this preacher off. Who are you?" "We're members too." "Members? Why, you don't come to this church." That's the curse of Baptist churches. It's those church rolls. I haven't looked at a church roll in 49 years. What do you look at? People coming. I don't need a roll. You're here. I don't need some church roll. You're here. God blessed me so much. He brought good people into my life. He brought good people. I'll never forget Gene McDonald. I learned a lot from him. Every time the doors were open, he was there. Somebody said that, and I don't want to get this wrong, brother, but at his daddy's funeral, standing at the casket, that's where your daddy said, "Enough of this.
He gave his life to Christ. He couldn't go any further. His daddy's casket. That was his moment of truth. That's when he came to meet him. Have you all had that? Mine was on a sofa. His daddy was at a casket. His daddy's, his grandfather. Have you had that moment of truth? We had a young teenage girl this past week in Bible school. She came to me. I took hold of her hand, bawling. I mean, just pouring her soul out. She was saved, folks. She'd been saved. Hallelujah to God. I took hold of her hand, pulled her up to me, and prayed with her. Glory to God. Amen. I don't know how many more are going to be saved. I have no idea. That's really not up to me. That's God's work. But, you want to talk about adding icing to the cake. We had good meetings, and they worked hard, and everything went good. Thank God for it. But nothing was greater that whole week. And that young woman walked up there. Lucas Hickman, there he is. He brought her to me. He brought her over there and said, she just got saved. I said, hallelujah. So pray for her. We'll embrace her. Have you been saved? That's what it's here for. That's why we're here. Amen. Have you noticed that I haven't called you a person of faith? I don't care anything about that. That's generalized nothing. That doesn't mean a thing. Do you know the Lord Jesus? Bow your head now, would you? Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the witness of the scripture. Thank you for the good people you brought in my life in the past, Lord. You brought some good ones. You brought some good people. I've known some good preachers. I've known good missionaries. I've known people who've inspired me. And I think about them a lot. I think about that one man who went over there and he slept under the bridges with the process, and he slept with the people with horrible, horrible, horrible disease of leprosy eating them away. Yet he told me that he was running a whorehouse when you came to him and saved his soul. My, my, my. My, my, my. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed this morning and nobody looking. This is personal time. This is spiritual time. This time between you and God. See, I'm done. I'm the preacher. I'm done my part. The Holy Ghost is the one who does the work now. Is he working with you? Is he talking to you? Is he moving in your heart? Maybe you came to Bible school. Maybe God planted something in there this past week with you. And it's been working on you. It's been eating at you. Well, do something about it this morning. Come down here and let's pray. Let's talk to the Lord. He's ready to save. Ready to save. Would you do it? If you want me to pray for you, and I'd be glad to, I'd love to do that. Raise your hand this morning. Just raise your hand. God bless you there. God bless you here. You say, preacher, I'm a little confused, and I know God's speaking to me, and I'm not so sure about this, and that's all right. That's okay. That's all right. And just pray for me, preacher. I'll be glad to. God bless you. Anybody else, raise your hand this morning and say, pray for me, preacher. God bless you there and back here. Amen. Hands going up everywhere in the house. I'm your friend. Amen. God bless you back there. I'm your friend. I'm doing my best to just make it just simple and put it to you. That Christ died for you. He died for sinners. This is a worthy saying of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief, he said. Father, I pray for the hands that went up, and I pray for their soul. Lord, bless your holy, holy word now. Save them. Maybe today, maybe tomorrow, maybe next week. Move in their heart and draw them to you. In Jesus' sweet, holy name I pray. And for Jesus' sake, we got folks down the altar this morning. They're down here praying. This is a good thing, folks. I mean, it doesn't get any better than this. They're praying. They're talking to God. Talking to the Lord. Maybe you'd like to come down and pray with them. Maybe you'd just like to get around somebody that's praying. And you feel like, well, if I do that, it might begin to help me and affect me. Right. You get around a bunch of people praying and it can do something for you. You better believe it. You get in a real prayer meeting sometime. You get in a room with a bunch of people pouring their heart out to God. It'll affect you. It'll affect you because the Holy Ghost is moving. Yeah, amen. Do that. Do that. If you'd like to come down, just pray around them.
Be there with them as they pray. Hallelujah to God. What a wonderful privilege we have, folks, to pray. Amen.